Welcome to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. You'll learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness and explore the deeper knowledge within. Welcome home. Now here's your host, Dr. Kelly Neff.
Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Kelly Neff, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio. Please stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience healing, inspiration, and knowledge. The first Wednesday of every month on Lucid Planet Radio, we will have some of the most gifted scientists, healers, speakers, and authors helping you to become the greatest version of yourself. And oh my goodness, you guys, I am finally back on the air after what it's basically been, I think, a 9-month hiatus spent writing my brand new book, Sex Positive. And this book is all about, if you're curious, it's about the new sexual revolution that our generation is experiencing, from gender fluidity to sex robots to sexting, polyamory, spiritual sex, reclaiming the female orgasm, healing past traumas, and so on. So if you like my show and my vibe, you're probably going to love this book. It's out in February 2020. It has taken literally like been a birthing process this year to get it done. So I appreciate everybody kind of bearing with me and your patience and support while I was doing that. But I'm back, baby. And so you can always keep streaming all of our shows at thelucidplanet.com, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, and SoundCloud. And you can also find me Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, The Lucid Planet. Whew. So since we're coming back into the swing of things, it's October, and we're getting into my favorite time of year, which is that kind of spooky fall season vibe. So I thought it would be fun to do a show on a topic that it is a little spooky for some people, but it's also can be immensely healing and beneficial for other people. And so something I've been really curious about, which is past lives and past life regression hypnotherapy. Now, I'm a psychologist, so anything hypnotherapy or regression therapy just naturally appeals. And also, some of the things I've read about past lives is their potential to impact our current lives. And that's really where I think some of the healing can come into it. If you're out there and you've read or heard of Brian Weiss's Many Lives, Many Masters, I read that book about a decade ago, and it really kind of changed my perception about time and lives and what we're doing here. It's a big question. So I'm really excited to have a guest on the show today, Bren Blankenship, who actually specializes in this technique and is the author of The Limitless Soul, Hypnoregression Case Studies into the Past, Present, and Future Lives. And she is the founder and executive director of the Braith Center in North Carolina. She's also a certified master hypnotherapist and international instructor and author. So I'm really stoked to dig into this. On that note, let's please welcome Bren to the show. Hi, Bren.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on today.
It's my pleasure. I want to start the show by just asking you, because there might be some listeners who aren't familiar with the concept, what exactly is past life regression hypnotherapy?
Well, past life hypnotherapy is a way of going into that deeper space. And regression means to go back in time. So you can do regression therapy to a current life issue, but you can also go back into the womb or into a past life to explore further some of your past lives and existences that you've lived and how they're influencing your life today. You can also go back into a past life and clear up or resolve issues that may be holding you back. And you can bring things back with you to support you. So awesome. That's why somebody would do that type of session. And I also specialize in soul expression, spiritual regression. That's a technique that I've developed, and that is regression to the between, into the cosmic realms, into the spirit world, where you're working with your soul on that level and those helpers that help us. So, you know, we can talk about that, but that's kind of a general overview of regression and the types of regression.
And I'm sure there's people listening who are like super into this, and there's other people that are like, are you serious? You can actually do that. So how did you kind of discover this, or what brought you here in your career? I read that you were in film and you kind of transitioned. What happened?
Well, I've had an interest in this since I was very young. And even in church, I would wonder, you know, the preacher would talk about life everlasting and how we go on to greener pastures and all of those things. So I would wonder, well, how did we get here? And, you know, coming out of church, we would stop and talk to the preacher, and he would ask me, how did you enjoy the sermon? And I would ask him that. And my mother looked like she just wanted to crawl into the church. And she would say, stop asking that. But I wanted to know where we come from. And then, as I got older, I took a traditional route and I had a traditional job, but I wanted to be an actress. I truly wanted to be an actress, but I didn't know how to get started. And, I found a way to get started while I kept my day job. And then we, a group of us had a coach that we would fly in from LA, and we worked with that coach and, you know, we studied a lot here on the East Coast. And then I would travel. I would go wherever I needed to audition and to do work. And I did a lot of film. I did a lot of commercials and a little bit of film. And what happened was other people were working full time as an actor. And I'm like, I want to do that too. I want to quit the day job and I want this to support me. So I went to a hypnotherapist to help clear that, because I was trying to understand what was holding me back. And I said, I think it's something from a past life. What can you do to help me with that? So we did a past life session, and we did a few past life sessions. And in a couple of them, I was a starving artist. So there's that fear of stepping out there, you know, getting paid what you're worth, that sort of thing. And then there were other times I was very successful as a singer in Europe. And so I'd had both ends of the spectrum from the creative side, and tapping into that cleared some things. But I went into a session, one of the sessions I went into took me into a future progression. Mm. Now, a future progression is where you're tapping into something that's coming up. And, I thought I was going to be doing a past life session that day, but I went into this future scene. And I'm standing in prairie grass, and I'm seeing these rolling hills, and there are trees and apples hanging on those trees. And I'm just walking through the orchard having my pick. So it was metaphorical. And my guides, my team of guides came in and started talking with me. And they said, you're going to go out for one thing and come back with another. Mm. Now, at this point, I thought I was going to New York. But what happened was I got home from that session and I'm still trying to process what just happened. You know, what was that? And I'm, you know, I'm in the chair saying these things, I'm seeing these things. And then I'm like, wow. And my friend from LA called, and she had been out there about 5 years. And she said, Bren, you need to come out. You'll do really well here. And you can come stay with me for a couple of weeks, but just come out. So I did. I went out there, I joined an acting class, which just happened to be down the street, and someone in class saw me. I started auditioning for their agent. I went into audition, and she signed me on the spot. And then that was my job, to audition 3-4 times a day, 5 days a week. And I was in heaven. Like, this is what I want to do. This is what I've been wanting for a long time. And then as time went on, I booked commercials, booked some film. And I was one location in the Grapevine, north of LA, and standing, I had my trailer. I mean, I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I've got my trailer behind me with star on the door and my name. And I'm standing there looking at the valley down below with this grass and these trees where we were filming under one of those trees. And someone said, hey, you better watch out, because I was wearing my Birkenstock sandals. And they said, there could be snakes in that grass. Mm. And so I looked down at my feet, I looked up, And then I like had this moment, I spun around and I was back in the session from a year ago in that grass, looking at the scene under the trees. It was exactly what I had seen.
Almost like a deja vu.
Yes. Except that it didn't have apples on those trees. And so that was really, really awesome. And then I was out there for a couple of years doing that work, but I never forgot that. And I looked for ways that I could bring this back home for others, because I knew what the blocks that I had worked through. I had stage fright too. I would do fine until you put the camera on me and, you know, I'd overthink it. And so, and then it was great because I was supported by other actors out there, well-known people. They had the same issues. You know, you think that because they're so well-known that they don't have those issues, but it was like being around my tribe. They were creative people. They were vulnerable, open with their emotions, and so much fun. But they had some of the same stuff that they were dealing with, which made me understand a little bit more about myself. So then I came home and I decided to travel where my teachers were so that I could study with them and then bring that back to North Carolina.
Who were some of the people that you studied with?
Well, I studied with Roger Wolger. He's well known in the field for Other Lives, Other Selves. And he's since passed a couple of years back, but he's from England, and he was a really wonderful teacher. He focused on ancestral work and what we carry forward in our genes, as well as those subtle energy patterns that get stored in our subtle bodies, the things that get passed down from generation to generation. And then I also studied with Michael Newton. In fact, I was on a study track with Roger Wolger when I switched over and studied with Michael Newton. I mean, I really thought that I was going to do Roger's work. And when I read Michael Newton's work, it clicked. And I actually moved forward with him, helped start the Newton Institute, served as a board member for 7.5-8 years. I am a lead instructor with the Newton Institute and have taught with them internationally, as well as my own students. So, you know, I really connected with the Life Between Lives work of Michael Newton, Journey of Souls, Destiny of Souls. And then I also studied with Brian Weiss after all of that. I just wanted to learn what I could with him. And Many Lives, Many Masters is his book. And I was fortunate enough to have one of my case studies included in Brian Weiss's book, and as well as Michael Newton's book, a couple of Michael Newton's books.
Can you tell us about one of these case studies?
Well, so in Brian Weiss's book, that case study is about a woman that she, let me just think here for a second. She was coming in to clear some of the feelings that she had when she would pass a plantation on the South. She had a longing for the plantation. There's something about the cotton field and being out there. And this is this blonde, white, petite, blue-eyed woman. And she wanted to explore through past life regression. Mm-hmm. And so when she went into the past life, she was a black slave on the plantation named Sugar. And, you know, very different from the life she has now, but she went through that life and ended up being educated by the plantation owner, because she and his daughter were about the same age, and went on to become one of the first female doctors in Virginia during that time. So it was pretty exciting to find that out through the past life regression. We were able to get details and information and then confirm some of that following the session as well.
I have a question, which is so interesting. Through hypnotherapy and regression therapy, it seems like it's pretty common for people to be able to jump into a moment. Can you also, I mean, is this saying that time is circular rather than linear? Can you jump to a future life in regression, or is that, I guess, called progression?
You can. You can. And so sometimes I don't guide people there, because sometimes people, their conscious mind, their conscious interference is trying to make things happen that they want to happen. And it doesn't help them create a false reality. It more than that, it pulls them out of the session because they're overthinking it. But often in the session, as it's going along, guides are giving guidance into the future of some of their lifetimes and what is coming up for them. So in this soul expression, spiritual regression sessions, that is that space between lives. And that's often where we're able to tune in and find out more about the themes that someone is working on through their incarnations. Maybe it's a theme of betrayal or love, abandonment, you know, all of those kinds of things. And then they may say, but this is your last lifetime working on that theme. Now you're going to start working on this other thing. Or you have one more lifetime, one or two more lifetimes on this, and then you're going to start your next thing, your next piece that you're going to work with. So, you know, the other thing about lifetimes, they're not chronological when we go back. I can guide a client to their most recent past life, and their most recent one could have been in the 1600s.
Yes.
Yet we know that they've had a life in the 1940s.
Do you think that everybody reincarnates?
I would say no, but most do.
Have you had a client who was like a new soul or a starseed or anything like that?
Well, now tell me your definition of a starseed just to make sure I'm on the right page.
I'm thinking like somebody who came from another realm or another planet.
That's what I thought. Yes. Yeah. I have had lots of clients that are starseeds. Okay. That have had lifetimes on other planets. In fact, that's the next book that's coming out.
Ooh, cool. Yes.
And what happens is they bring their gifts with them from these other planets. That's where some of the skill sets with energy work and creativity, light,
technology,
sound, technology, exactly. They bring that in with them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Earth is the emotional planet. So we come here to experience emotions and to learn to manage that and to manage emotions. So just managing your emotions is half of the battle of being here. More you incarnate, on Earth, you get used to what it's like to be here. I'm trying to recall, I don't think I've had anyone that has not had a previous incarnation.
Cool.
I had one that's a maybe, but we really need to explore that further with that client to get some information before I could say that's definitive.
Most of them prior. So then that was my next question. Can everybody be hypnotized to connect either to the space in between or to past lives? Or are some people not in a place where they can access that?
Well, most people can be hypnotized to do that if you're of sound mind and body. However, you have to be in the right headspace. You know, you can't be overly analytical. You have to learn to let go and kind of, you know, you're working with you're in the recliner, I'm talking to you, and you're telling me what's happening. Mm-hmm. So you're letting go, tuning into that space. And the more you can just put your analytical mind towards the background, the more you can allow it to flow through. Because it's coming through and you might be saying, what is that? I see the scene or I feel something, but I'm not sure what that is yet. And then if you try to overanalyze, you're pulling yourself out.
Yes. So I'm just curious. What does a session with you look like? Like what happens if someone comes in and let's say they want to do the soul expression, spiritual regression? How does this usually unfold? Like they come into your office, they sit down, tell me what happens.
All right. So to do that type of session, they would have already done at least one past life session with me prior. Okay. And it's set up in a certain way to prepare you for the Cessor session. The past life session is about 2 hours, and then the Cessor session is 3 to 4 hours. So you're in that deeper state for a long time. I want you to be able to get the most out of the Cessor. And Cessor is an acronym for Soul Expression Spiritual Regression.
Yes.
And Cessor is assessment. It's a current life assessment. So going into that deeper state after having done the past life session, where we've explored a past life and found out some things about you and introduced you to your guides, this is spending more time with the guides in the between, in that spiritual space, to find and follow your soul's guidance, to identify negative patterns so that you can move through your issues more quickly through this direct access to yourself. But more than that, this is a magnification of one's soul for greater alignment with soul for that guidance. Mm-hmm. So in that space, not only are you speaking with your guides, sometimes your soul advisory council will come through.
Can other you tell specialty. People what the difference is between guides and soul advisory
oh, sure.
council?
Yes. So the guides are the ones that work with you on the details, on the day-to-day. They help, you know, with the details of what you're doing right now, whether you're aware of them or not. And they're available for assistance if you need help. The soul advisory council is part of that group that helps you with the pre-planning of your lifetimes, your pre-planning of your incarnations. So they helped you with the life that you're in now and what you're going to bring with you to give you the tools and the connections to the people that you're going to make friends with or have significant connections with while incarnate. You know, they're setting all of those plans in place prior to incarnating. And they help with the bigger picture, but your guides are in that, they're in that planning session, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But the Soul Advisory Council helps with the bigger picture, and then the guides help implement that.
And are these ancestral, like, are they related to you, or are you incarnated? Yes. Do your souls come from the same place? You know, how do we get paired up with these?
These are not generally ancestral connections. Your ancestral connections may come through your soul group or companion soul groups, you know, other related groups that are going to work with you during your incarnations, because your soul group is a smaller group of individual souls that are working on the same kinds of things that you are along this path. Mm-hmm. And the Soul Advisory Council can exist with many, many members. You know, you can have, occasionally it's a family member, but not usually. They're not part of that. But there have been times where, you know, many times with my clients, that Soul Advisory Council members have been from other dimensions, other planets. And, you know, they will comment that when you're on our planet, you're the alien. Like, to humans, we're the alien. But when you're where we are,
Why do you think it is that we can jump planets and incarnate in different spaces? Is it because of the frequency of the different planets and the way that energy moves there that we need to learn different things?
Well, you know, it's like our soul body can travel. You know, our physical human body can't, the way our soul body can travel. And in human form, we need to anchor into the human body. You know, this is our vehicle. And
it's
we
very
need
dense.
To anchor in and move it and connect with it. But on those other planets, I mean, there are other planets like that as well. But some of the planets, you don't need that. You just a ball of light and you just go, you think it and you go there.
Do you think people have any choice on, you know, where, what journey they're on or where they're going to incarnate or what's going to happen next? Can we change the course of our future lives? How do we do that?
So when you're working with your soul advisory council, you know, there's the theme of what you're here to work on. There's what you're coming to do, right, at your core of what you need. Now, how you do that can change. So it may be lined up that you're going to do this, but then you get to Earth and you have free will. And so you say, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not taking that path. And when you change direction like that and implement free will, which you can, it changes everybody else that was lined up. You know, you were helping them, they were helping you. And now you're on this other track.
I see.
To learn the same lesson, you're going to do it a different way.
Yep.
So, like for my example, with my traditional job, had I stayed with that and stayed, you know, in the corporate world, then that was my track. But then I jumped tracks. Now, was it predestined that I was going to do this with the acting? You know, it was kind of a burning desire
for a long
time. Right. Or did I implement free will and say, no, I'm going to do this? But I did it, and then everything lined up that way. And then, you know, when I got into the hypnosis, it felt so natural to me. When I started studying it, not only just doing it, but studying it, it felt so natural to me. It felt like this has been my calling all along. So was that always what I was going to do, or is this just another way to get me there?
It's a good question. I think about it too. I mean, it's like, is it free will? If you love, you were just drawn to something so much and that's what you felt like you had to do, or maybe you were being tested to see how much you really were willing to sacrifice to do the thing that really was your heart's desire. I mean, it's super confusing. And the best part is, like, we don't really know. And that's why I love talking to you about this, because there, you know, none of this, we're not like here to offer you like empirical proof and data that this is exactly how it goes. And here's what happens after you die. And here's where you die. And here's where you're going to go. No, none of us can know that. We're just, it's a exploration into the depths of human consciousness, really, is what we're talking about.
Exactly. And we're just tapping into a small piece of awareness of that realm.
Also
and
true.
So what has happened through my own sessions that I've experienced, I will say that I learned to take the leap. And then once I learned how to do that, I understood how to do that again.
Yeah.
So it was part of my plan, but it was also, is she going to do this? You know,
right.
is she
right.
going
right.
to overcome these challenges to make that happen?
And a lot of the time it's the leap without the seeing the net.
Yes. And it's scary, but when you get used to doing that, and you it's a calculated leap, you know.
Yeah.
However, when you get used to doing that, wonderful things can happen. And then you learn to trust. So myself, I learned to have less worry and more trust in the divine plan. And that's what we're doing for the client in their own session, because they're finding out more about themselves and who these people are in their lives and why they're here and why they've had some of the experiences they've had. And they're being shown glimpses of their future now, you know, in this life, and things that are coming up. And it's incredible. You know, I just had dinner with a client last night. And, you know, she was given glimpses of a child that was going to be born.
Ooh.
And that child did come to fruition, was born, and that was many years ago. But I've since met that child, and it's incredible because, you know, I never know what's going to come up in a session. And here she is talking to the soul of a child, like, you know, just like we're having a conversation right now, and finding out when it was this person was coming and why, and now that child is here.
How do you deal with situations where your clients go through very traumatic recalls of information?
Well, so it can be painful to experience the loss of a loved one, to know that you could have stood up for someone that you didn't. And they died because of you, or, you know, for something that you didn't, because of something you didn't do, or because of something that you did. Then there are other times where what they're observing is very, very painful, yet they're more the observer to it because they've already lived that life. So it would be very different for them if they were sitting here telling me the same story in current life. So it is emotional. But it's not the same level that it is if you were sitting here right now telling me about that loss.
Have you come across people who have a phobia in this life, and it's because of how they died in a previous life?
Oh, yes.
I'd love to hear some of those, because, like, this is always, we don't understand in psychology a lot of it, like, why we have these phobias. And people say it's early childhood experience, but often there isn't anything in the early childhood. And it could make sense that, like, some deeper subconscious knowledge from something else is affecting it. So I'm always curious about these types of stories.
Well, you know, like, a phobia that you have, like, if you had a fear of cats, it could be that your fear of cats comes from a past life where you were killed by a tiger.
Mm.
You know, I've had a couple of times, like, one client was a lion tamer, and she tamed elephants and tigers, and was killed by the tiger, and has issues with cats, you know, in current life has issues with the cats. And then other clients have been on the way back to warn the tribe about a warring tribe that was coming, and they got killed by a tiger on the way back and were ashamed that that's how they died. You know, like, I was a better warrior than that. I should not have died because of a tiger, and I didn't get to warn my tribe, and because of that, they perished. So that can be, this feelings of responsibility to someone else can be carried forward that way. And then these are stories that are not in the book, by the way. But the one I'm about to tell you about is in the book. And I had a client that had an issue with indecision. She just was so indecisive her whole life. And she was a reluctant leader. And it turns out that in her past life, we've explored a couple of them. And the one that I include in the book, it's talking about how, as a witch, she was responsible for this man. The village had put her in charge of this man that had stolen a baby. And they wanted him to be killed. And what had happened was, he and his wife had just lost a baby. His wife was grieving. And she just insisted that he go find her another child. So he went and found another child, brought it home, and got caught. And now they're wanting him to be killed. And so she's standing there saying, I don't want to kill this man. I know he's not going to do it again. I know what he did is wrong, and he knows it too. She's already lost a child. Now she's going to lose a husband. And so that was her indecision, like, and their load of responsibility on her. She said, as a witch for the village, you know, if someone healed and they were well, they were happy with me. But if someone died, then they blamed me. So there was that. So when she stood up there in front of everyone in that state of indecision, the father of the child came up and swung the axe and killed her, sliced her jugular. Killed her for not killing the man. So this is where some of her indecision comes from. And so now that man is going to, something's going to happen to him because he killed someone, plus the man that stole the baby, all of that.
Karmic rift.
Exactly. And her guide said, look at what happened. Regardless of your indecision, someone still got killed. So you needed to make a decision.
Yes.
Right or wrong, you needed to make a decision. And then they carried that over into her current life and showed her lots of examples of how she, you know, has been indecisive. And she had three decisions to make in her current life. And they were saying, it doesn't matter which one you pick. The one you pick will be the right one.
Exactly. Just pick something.
Pick something.
That's usually how it has to go. Just what are we having for dinner? Just pick something. I'm starving. I don't know.
Exactly.
Another question that I have, since it's my favorite, you know, it's Halloween, spooky time of year. Have you come across any people who were witches, burnt at the stake, or otherwise, you know, punished for, you know, using the energetic arts or qualities that they had in other eras where it wasn't as acceptable?
Yes. In fact, okay, I'm going to go ahead and share this. I have not shared this on any of the other radio shows.
Cool.
In one of my own sessions, I was burned as a witch. So I'm coming out of LA. I'm making that transition, studying hypnosis, past life regression. I'm working with Roger Wolger, and we're having this class, and it's in this room. It's this round room that a lot of rock stars used to use that for recording, because it had this rounded ceiling about three stories up. And what had happened was, he had these long classes. Like, when I teach my students, we're not there until 11 o'clock at night.
Right.
But Roger would start at 8 o'clock in the morning. We would go through the day, have a nice break in the middle of the day, start up after dinner, and go till 11 o'clock. And there were about 30 of us in this circle. And we were sitting up against the wall, kind of, and our feet were out in the middle. And I was kind of like zoned in and out, and I found him so interesting, and I just didn't want to miss anything that he was saying. And my feet started heating up, and I'm going, that is wild. What is going on? I mean, that's uncomfortable now. Yeah. And as the day went on, it started getting worse and worse. And so by the next day, we're sitting in that circle in that same room, and I said to Roger on a break, I said, Roger, I don't know what's happening, but my feet are getting hot. And it's like my arms want to go behind my back and my wrists be like together. They're like pull, like something's drawing them behind my back and my, like my wrist coming together. And he started rubbing his hands and he goes, oh, Bryn, this is a juicy one. We need to explore this. And I said, what? And he goes, you're going to be the demo. I said, what? So he put me in the middle of the room when we came. He goes, come on, everyone, let's come back from break. And he put me in the middle of the room and had me go into those sensory memories. So that's great that you talked about this, because these are where sense memories are pulling up past yes. life memories, past life recall.
And is that something that happens commonly, would you say?
Well, it can happen with people. It was the situation. I'm in that setup yeah. for a week. And as you know, you can lead someone there through a session. That's not yeah. my typical way of guiding them, but it can happen.
I see.
So as I went into that past life, I was being burned at the stake. The two ladies that were sitting next to me were being burned with me. The two ladies in class, we were all three actresses coming out of LA, making our transition into hypnotherapy, which was interesting. We yeah. found each other and just happened to find out later that we were actresses. There was that connection. And then they were being burned with me at the stake. We were giving out pamphlets to help women with medical issues. And, you know, we were teaching them how to use herbs to yes. help their bodies. And that's why we were being killed. And there, I saw the whole town, the whole village of people were all there. They were the people that were at this workshop.
Wow.
One lady, there was
that's
one
a trip.
Woman, and I said, and I'm laying there in the middle of the room with my eyes closed. And I pointed to that one woman and I said, she's the one that turned us in. She knew that we weren't hurting anyone, but she's the one that did it. And so then we did this whole clearing and forgiveness and all of that, because I really didn't have an issue with her in the class.
Yeah.
But she did stand out to me.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
seemed to be a little negative. I'll say that. But that's it. I noticed that she just seemed to be a little negative, kind of negative, critical comments about herself, maybe others too, but especially about herself. And then we cleared whatever that was from that past life. But that was all brought on from those sense memories in my feet of heating up with the fire. And so that room with the rounded top, when I was releasing some stuff, I might have screamed a little bit. And it echoed up through nice. The dome and back down. It was
dramatic.
And it was kind of wild.
You guys are all at, you know, Hollywood. It's like it's macabre. It's fabulous. You know what I
exactly.
mean?
Exactly.
I think it's great.
You don't scream as much in my sessions. You know, right. Roger Wolver, he did use psychodrama. I yeah. tend not to use that in yeah. my sessions. But if it does happen, I do know what to do.
Yes. I mean, well, that's a really cool story. Thank you so much for being the first show to share that on. You know, it's funny. What you're reminding me of something, which is that I wonder how you feel about this, that sometimes we access these memories, these repressed or regressed memories, in an alternate state of consciousness. So not necessarily through, say, hypnotherapy, but like in dreams mm-hmm. or psychedelics. I don't know if you're familiar with DMT, the spirit molecule, but there are full like books written about people who DMT, it's what's in our pineal gland, but there are ways to ingest it. When you drink it, it's ayahuasca. When it's processed, it's DMT. People okay. talking, literally people who have done DMT, and they meet these spiritual advisory councils of otherworldly beings, like around a table planning their life and giving them advice. And people call them the DMT elves. They call them the spirit guides. But it's just reminding me of this. And I'm wondering yes. if it's the same place. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Okay. So my thoughts on using the drugs, you don't have control. I mean, I guess you're working with a practitioner who's helping with that. So
yes, sometimes people are.
I can't really speak to that.
Yeah.
However, what you just described is without the drugs is what clients describe when they're meeting with their soul advisory council.
Yep.
And sometimes it's in a room, sometimes it's in an open space. You know, they'll take on different forms depending on what that client needs that day. and to let them know that they're supported, that they're loved, and that they're not alone, and to help them clarify why they're here.
Yes. It's just interesting to hear that same theme coming up on a completely different kind of path, but it's still something that is supposed to connect to the kind of the unconscious or the subconscious.
I mean, I know a little bit about that. I just don't know enough to really speak to it. But it does sound similar to the description.
It's an interesting concept. And for me, where I'm going with it is dreams. So I'm a very, very active dreamer, and I'm pretty convinced that I've had dreams that are like definitely past lives, like that I'll see the entire dream like a movie, and it'll play beginning to end, and then in the same night of sleep, play all the way backwards and then all the way forwards again. And I remember all of it when I wake up. Like I've had where it's like I've had so many different ones, but I know exactly what it is. And I know every place and every person, and it goes back and forth and back and forth. And I don't know why, but I don't do like, I haven't ever done like a proper hypnosis regression therapy, which is part of why I wanted to have you on the show, because I'm curious. And now I definitely want to do it. But yeah, I'm just wondering, like, is dream, because that, could that be what that is going on in my brain? Help.
Yes. Dreams are a way that they connect. You know, often we don't remember our dreams, or when we're waking up, we get distracted if we don't sit there and write them down as soon as we awaken. You know, when the conscious starts to come fully back in.
Yes.
But, you know, when you're going to sleep, you're passing through the hypnotic state to get into that deeper space.
Your brain waves.
And when
you're waking
up, you're passing that too. And when you're doing creative things driving like on a long stretch of highway that you've driven, you know, like we have an interstate here that goes from one part of the state all the way across. Mm-hmm. You could just get on that and drive for 7-8 hours, and you're in the zone, and you can tune in to all kinds of things. So that's how, you know, the guides are speaking in session, right? I'm helping to use my voice, relaxing music, breathing, all of those things to help. I'm suggesting to the client, and then they're taking that information and letting themselves relax and going into that deeper space, and they are tapping into that wisdom within them, and then they're telling me what's happening. But what this is doing is creating an opening, and then I'm giving suggestion that is helping keep that opening aligned, growing stronger, so that they can start recognizing ways that their guides have already been connecting with them.
Yes. I was going to ask you about that, because one of the things that I liked about your book is you have different exercises for people to connect. And I think that's a common question that we hear in this realm is, how do I find my spirit guides? How do I talk to my spirit guides? What can I do to bring myself more into a meditative state? And I was just wondering if you had some advice on that.
Yes. So your guides are speaking to you. You know, they may come through an image grabbing your attention. They may come through a phrase. They may come through, so it could come visually, auditorially. It can come through a feeling of recognition.
Those angel numbers you see, you know.
That could be a way that your guides are communicating. It can be all kinds of things like that. The thing is to start recognizing patterns and recognizing, oh, every time I see that 11 on the clock, I get this feeling, and then I feel like I feel like someone's communicating with me, or I feel like I'm being told I've got your back, you know, those kinds of messages that might come through while you're trying to learn what that feels like. Then you can start asking for guidance. Then you can say, okay, I need some help with this. What should I do? And then you can learn how to step away from the conscious mind and into that deeper part of self, so that you can get guidance from your soul. You can get guidance from your team. You know, we didn't really mention the soul part as much, but your soul is back in the spirit world. You know, you and I are sitting here talking to each other and all the listeners. However, all of our souls are back at home in the cosmic realms. The piece of soul comes down into a physical body and incarnates, but it's connected back to the home base, to the home, the bigger part. And so that bigger part of soul is in that meeting, along with the Soul Advisory Council and the other members of the soul, your soul group may be there, as well as your spirit guides and planning out things. And so when clients go into this deeper state, they connect with their soul.
Mm-hmm.
They sometimes start speaking to me in the third person about themselves.
Yes.
They have their soul name, beautiful names. Sometimes they're beyond pronunciation on this planet, but these beautiful names come through, and that's their eternal name. And I'll have a conversation with the soul about the client. And what's so interesting about that is the soul is talking about the client who's in the chair, in their body, and they're saying, here's what she's doing wrong, or here's what she could improve on.
Oh,
you know?
Wow. Do clients remember this when they come out of it?
Yes.
Wow. Yes. That's very profound and probably a little confusing at first, I'm sure.
Well, you know, they're it's kind of exciting for them.
Sure.
They're like, wow, I heard myself talking about myself, and it's like I was just standing back listening while you were just having a conversation about me.
Yep. That's, you know, it's kind of amazing, right? That that's even possible. Do you think everyone has a soul? Everyone has an infinite soul, limitless soul? Is that the right way to say it?
It might seem like some do not, but everyone, all the humans here have souls, and even a couple of special animals have souls. Not every animal, but there are some that do.
Oh yeah.
And you know, let's talk about this for a second.
Yeah.
Every soul is part of the divine plan.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone. Even the ones that you don't like, the ones you think aren't doing what you think they should be doing, the ones who aren't doing anything, it seems like, and the ones who are doing everything. If one of those souls was not here, it would change the lives of all the other people, other souls that it's connected to.
So what is the take-home message here? I mean, are we here to kind of squash the beef, so to speak, of all of the past conflicts we've had through all of these lives, particularly, you know, human history, very violent conflicts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are we here to kind of karmically, you know, forgive each other? Are we here to each grow on our individual journey and trust that, you know, we're supposed to be where we're going to be? What is your, I'm just curious because I think there's so much going on here. What is your feeling?
Well, you know, each soul is on their own track. Each soul is progressing along their own soul's journey and what we're working on. But ultimately, it's about love. So
yes,
as you work through the emotions, as you work through the forgiveness, it doesn't mean those things won't happen. You know, you won't get upset with someone, but maybe you can move through it a little more quickly now with that understanding, or you won't hold on to it in your energy, so it won't dim your light. And, you know, what we're doing in these Cessor sessions is uncovering the mysteries of the soul and all of its incarnations to give the client more information now. But it's also about magnification of one's soul for greater alignment.
Do you think it goes on forever to infinity? Or do you think at some point, once you've learned everything you need to know, like, you know, like Buddhism, you reach your state of nirvana. I mean, what do you think that ever happens? I'm just curious.
I think it's a little different than that. I mean, yes, you do achieve that. But here's my experience through many, many client sessions. The soul can at some point stop incarnating by choice or guidance that now it's time for them to stop incarnating on Earth, but they may go on to other planets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may have a couple of stops here and then they go there, or they may have more stops here. And then they go on to be helpers, spirit guides, move up the ranks. So as souls are in those levels of spirit guide and soul advisory council, we're helping them advance with their work on the other side. It doesn't stop when we stop incarnating as humans. because then our soul advances and experiences in those ways. But at some point, we stop incarnating on Earth, and then we go somewhere else. What
awesome.
Order we do that, it's not the same for every person. And it's also like air traffic control.
Yeah.
I always think of there's a soul out there whose sole job is to stand there with those little lights and guide the souls in. Okay, you got to come in now. You got to leave. Getting everybody lined up. I mean, it's amazing all that takes place just for you to have the life that you have.
Yep.
And multiply that by every person on the planet.
Oh, wow. And maybe in the multiverse, in the galaxy, too.
Yeah. And we all agreed to come in at this time. We all said, I'm going to be here on this planet in 2019.
Right.
So you come in with your generation.
Yes.
Your generational group, your family group, your ancestral lineage for this incarnation. But you might be of a different ancestral lineage physically. In another, you don't always incarnate back into the same families.
Right.
There's sometimes you do.
Or sometimes you have different roles, right, in the same kind of group. But one will you'll be the child one time and the parent the next time.
Yeah. And sometimes a miscarried child will come through in session and say, it wasn't time for me to come all the way in. I'm coming in later. I'll be back.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
So do you think we gotta close the show. That went by real fast. Bryn, awesome. But I just want to say, we're living in these very fragmented, stressful times when, the children of the world are panicking about the future of the earth, and maybe rightly so. And there's so much stress and uncertainty and, trolling online and people fighting each other. And I guess maybe part of this message, like you said, is love and is having a little bit of faith and trust that, we're all on this journey together, wherever it's going to take us. Maybe we signed up for it beforehand, knowing we were going to have to find ourselves in a difficult position. But maybe that, I don't know, this is my opinion, maybe that, freaking out at each other might not be the best way to really progress as a species. Can you speak to that a little bit just to close the show?
Well, you are here by design, not by accident. And you're not alone and you're loved. Mm. So when you can understand more about your place in this world and why you're here and to know that you're here on purpose for a purpose, then you can see more. You can look at your fellow man differently. You don't react from a fearful place. You react from a calmer, more grounded space. And in doing that, you're able to help somebody else do the same thing. So that instead of spreading that chain reaction of fear, you're helping to spread a chain reaction of groundedness, of level-headedness. And, if you are someone who's more aware, let's say, than others around you, then this is an opportunity to help awaken them, but not by preaching, not by, pushing your dogma down there, your belief system on them. It's just they will start to either gravitate to you because you are more grounded, or they'll go somewhere else because you won't line up vibrationally.
Yep. I think that's a really nice way to close the show today. Thank you. It's you can be a leader and you can lead from a quiet place of calm rather than by screaming the loudest, I think is actually a really nice way of looking at it and kind of could give a lot of people relief right now. Bryn,
there's a story in the book that talks about leadership and how you put your passion into it, right?
Yes.
You put your passion into what you do, not worrying about so much contriving the outcome, but by being in the moment now, and that helps create a more positive outcome.
Absolutely. And that's really what flow is all about anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that book, you guys, is called The Limitless Soul by Bryn Blankenship, and you can find it now. It's out, right?
Yes.
Awesome.
It's out through online, through all major booksellers and stores.
Fabulous. And well, that's it. That's all we have time for today. Bryn, thank you so much for coming on the show. That was really lovely. And actually,
Thank you, Dr. Kelly. I enjoy this. It's
yeah.
Bye.
I really did. I'm kind of in a better mood now than I was when I started, which is always a good thing. I wasn't in a pretty good mood to start with, though, I got to be honest, because I get to be back on the air. Guys, don't forget, you know, we're Lucid Planet's back now, first Wednesday of every month. And lucidplanet.com, you can hear this show as well as all of our other ones, as well as iTunes on SoundCloud. Stay tuned for Sex Positive February 2020. You can pre-order it now on Amazon. Oh, and by the way, my next show is also all about tantric sex. So if you're with me and you're into that kind of stuff, please tune in on, I think it's November 7th. In the meantime, spread love, good vibes, and take care. And thanks again to Bryn for coming on the show.
You've been listening to the hit show, Lucid Planet Radio, with renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff. Tune in as we illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. This hit show will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake up to the greatest version of yourself. Learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness as you explore the deeper knowledge, passion, and purpose within. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for upcoming show topics and to contact Dr. Kelly.
The preceding audio was via a Skype call.